This morning I want to open up, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8, four little verses, but I think we'll be okay as far as time goes. Should be done by the time the family or the fifth Sunday sing starts. So, no, just kidding. I was looking over this passage actually about 2 weeks ago, and it didn't feel right. And so this past week as I began to pray about it, it's one of those things where something happens and you begin to start to think and put your mind goes on a track. If you're like me, your mind's on a track and then all of a sudden it derails. We used to say in youth, we can chase rabbits as long as we stay in the pasture. That type of a deal. And so a lot of times that's where my mind is at, is chasing rabbits or ping pong balls, however you want to call it. It doesn't matter. But this past week, I got to thinking about following. And I started off with this thinking, you know, we used to work, my wife and I and some of my kids used to work at the racetrack over at Wheatland. And when we would go over there on a Saturday night, we worked in the pit area in the concession stand. Very seldom did we get to see any races. We got to see the cars when they were lined up out back. And we would occasionally try to get everything done ahead of time and sneak up and watch a race. And you would watch them, and whoever was out front, man, that guy behind him was right on his bumper. Man, he had the groove, and so he's following him, and he's as close as he can be. And I've watched NASCAR before, not a super big fan. I don't know if I just don't live south far enough. I don't know if that's what it is, but they get right behind that car in front of them, and they draft. And there'll be a whole line of them, and if one guy gets out of that line before you know it, he's sucked back. But they will start drafting the guy in front of them. And so they begin to follow that guy as close as they can. And I thought, you know, that's how some of us follow Jesus. We follow in a straight line until we think we can do better. And when we think we can do better, man, we jump out of line and we start going our own way. Doesn't work. So there's that type of following today that's like the NASCAR, that's like the stock car races, where we follow as long as it's easy. And then when our mind sees that rabbit or we think something's better, we choose to go that way. So that's one way we follow. Another way is that time of situation. Now, I know the men in here don't have this problem, but it's that GPS thing that is on every phone and on most dashes, and it's like, punch it in and just follow where it tells you to go. That doesn't always work. But we don't get lost, right? We just are going a new way. That's the way we look at it. But we follow GPS until we think, okay, I know where I'm at. I'm going to go my own way now. We turn off the GPS. And so we follow it when we're lost. You know, if I'm downtown in a big city or in a city that I'm not familiar with, then I use GPS. But when I think I've got my own way and I think I know where I'm going, click off that GPS and go my own way. There's a lot of us that follow Jesus that way too. We follow Him as long as we're going through that difficult time. We follow Him. But then when we think everything's smoothed out, we're back in the familiar, we turn off that Jesus GPS. Then there's that follow the leader game. You always played when you was a little kid. Whoever got chosen to be first, well, I've got to follow them because that's part of the game. Not necessarily because I want to, but that's what's expected by everybody else in the game. And we follow Jesus that way too. We come to church on Sunday morning. We go to Bible study. We do the things that we know we're supposed to do in following Jesus. That's part of the game. Those three types of following Jesus don't work. I know, I've tried them. They don't work. So today we're going to look at a passage that is going to tell us how Jesus explains when some people wanted to follow him. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 18, it says, "And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my Father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just lift this time to you. We pray that you speak to us. Lord, mold us and make us into what you desire us to be. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. Lead, guide us in all that you desire. In your name we pray. Amen. Here we see this story, and Jesus is beside the sea, and he sees these great multitudes beginning to gather around him. And he says, he gives a command and says, "We need to go to the other side of the lake," basically. So he gives this command, and that's where I want to stop, first of all. Because so many times you and I think following Jesus is just coming to church, is just being that nice person, is just doing Christian things. That's all a part of it, but that's not it. Jesus didn't mention any of those things in this passage. He didn't mention those things here. But it says he gave a command. You know, we like to look at different parts of the Bible as suggestions. Well, Jesus was just trying to get people to follow him. No, he gave a command. And when he called you and me to follow him, it wasn't a suggestion. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, he becomes the Lord of my life. And so what he does is he begins to give me commands. Well, boy, that sounds like that's too overpowering for me to follow that religion. Is for him to give me a command? Yeah, because we're not equal. We are his servants. And here he tells his disciples, there're getting to be a lot of people around here, but how many of you are going to do what I command and go to the other side? You're going to have to depart and go to the other side. The first thing Jesus told me that I understand when I read the Scripture is that when I gave my life to him, he gave me a command to depart. I have to depart that old lifestyle. Now, I know it's not an automatic, flip the switch thing where I'm all of a sudden a person that doesn't do the things I used to do. But because of what Jesus Christ has placed in me through the Holy Spirit, because of what my desire to love him and to learn from him and to follow him, he says, depart from that old lifestyle. Depart from that group that's just here being a part of life. Well, he tells us then we should try to leave that old lifestyle. No, it's a command. It's a command to leave that lifestyle that's not centered around Jesus Christ. Well, your old lifestyle and my old lifestyle were probably different. You're commanded to leave yours. I'm commanded to leave mine. But where do we go? I don't understand where this other side of the lake is at. Well, the way I look at it, the way I understand it, is when he says, you need to depart and go to the other side. Where was I before I accepted him? I was on the side that was against him. If you're not with me, if you're not against me, you're with me. If you're not with me, if you're not against me, you're for me. There we go. I get that confused there. But what it comes down to is he says, you need to depart from the side that you were on before. Do you think Jesus was going to stay there? He saw the multitude and he gave the command to depart to the other side. Now, there's one instance where he told the disciples to get in the boat and go, and I'm going to stay here and dismiss the crowd after he'd fed the 5,000. But here he doesn't say that. I think when he saw the multitudes of people, he said, come on, we're going to the other side. And it's a command that you go and you follow him. You depart that old lifestyle and go with Jesus. So as we look at this, we see that following him is going to take a command. It's going to be following commands. Well, how many of you like to follow commands? None of us. None of us like to follow commands. But that's what he calls us to do. And then in verse 19 it says, then a certain scribe. Now a scribe is a person that would write down the law and keep it for everyone to be able to read, and they would take and they would write down things for the future. And a scribe generally was someone of the old Mosaic law, a believer, that most of the time did not believe in Jesus. Because they were so ingrained in the law that they missed the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, here, one of those people, a certain scribe, he comes out of that and says, teacher. And that was a term that the scribes would use, basically being like, you're just a teacher. You're not the Messiah. You're not the Lord. You're not the Christ. You're just a good teacher. That was the term that they used. He was so used to that term that he still used it. And he says, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. So here is a man that he realizes there's something special in Jesus. He had followed the law. He had written the law down. He had went through a lot of religious lifestyle in order to be a scribe. But he realized there's something about Jesus. And he realized he probably wanted a little bit more. He wanted to know more. He wanted to be around him more. And so what he does is he says, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. That's where a lot of us are. A lot of us are like this scribe. We've been religious all of our life. We've heard about him. We know what the Bible says about Jesus. And we want to get closer to him. We're like that scribe. But that's not the only place we're like that scribe. Because he wanted to follow Jesus and he had no idea what was in store for him. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's telling this young man. Now we don't know if this young man went ahead and followed him or not. It doesn't say. But he says here, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know how uncomfortable it's going to get. You know, a bird has a nest to go and rest. A fox has a hole to go and hide. We don't have those things in life that just make us comfortable. If you're going to follow me, you're going to be uncomfortable. Well, that's no fun. But that's what he calls us to. He says here that all these other things in life, the natural things, they have what they need. They have what makes them comfortable. But the Son of Man, it's not going to be comfortable. And you want to follow me? You want to follow me? It's not going to be comfortable. And for us, we want to follow him when it's comfortable. We want to follow him when it's easy, like we talked about earlier. The casual following, the situational following. But he calls us and he says it's going to be uncomfortable if you're going to follow me the way I want you to. And how is that? It's not casual, it's not situational, it's radical. Now, that used to be a bad term, radical. But if you're going to follow Jesus, there is only one true obedience, and that's radical obedience to Jesus Christ. That means it's not on your terms. It's not on your pastor's terms. It's not on your Bible study leader's terms. It's not on your mom and dad's terms. It's on Jesus' terms. There's no discussing it. There's no negotiations. He gives a command and you follow it. It's going to be uncomfortable emotionally. You know, because I'm pretty comfortable most days. Emotionally, I'm pretty comfortable. But when you go up to somebody that's a stranger and you start talking to them about Jesus, are you emotionally comfortable? Oh, man. Temperature just went up 10 degrees right there. And not just emotionally discomforting is following Jesus, but physically. I remember one time we went on a mission trip down to New Orleans after Katrina. They had a building that was like three times the size of this. It was a tent. Actually, it wasn't a building. And inside that was army cots about this far apart. And you slept on those army cots next to people that had been working all day long cleaning out houses and mud and stuff out of things in New Orleans that had been sitting there for a long time. It was very uncomfortable. There are going to be times when God is going to call you to do something for Him that is hard to do, physically hard to do. Well, I'm too old to do that. Well, it doesn't say how old you're going to be. It just says it's going to be physically hard for you to do. Not just physically hard, not just emotionally hard, but socially uncomfortable. Because when you go into your work and when you go into the places that you hang out, the teams that you're on, and you start standing up for Jesus, let me tell you, it's going to get socially uncomfortable. Because you are wrong. That's what they're going to tell you. You are wrong for believing in Jesus. That's what they're going to tell you. That's what they're going to push on you. Is you are wrong because you're standing up for Jesus. Sin is now okay. Loving Jesus is now wrong in our society. How did that happen? It happened because people quit following Jesus because it was uncomfortable. That's why it happened. Because they didn't care about being uncomfortable when they came and they got in our face about saying something about Jesus. But we got uncomfortable and we did care when they started telling us that we couldn't talk to them about Jesus. So it's going to be uncomfortable. He tells them that. It's going to be a rough life. He goes on. Now that man there, that first one, let me go back. That scribe, he evidently came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I will follow you." But this next guy, Jesus said to him, to another disciple of his. So this was a disciple, not necessarily one of the 12, but one of those who had been following him and listening to him a little longer maybe, but was a disciple of his. Said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." That response gives us the idea that Jesus had called him first. Because his answer, his response is an answer to a question. "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Now, scholars have discussed whether this man's father was actually dead or not. Because generally, it's probably preferred that he's not. Because what would take place is in that culture, if somebody died, they generally buried him within 24 hours. And if that man's father had just passed away, he's probably not going to be walking around following Jesus. He would have been back home with his father during that 24-hour time and then go into the grieving time. So the chances are it's talking culturally. And what that means is if you had an older father, then the eldest son was responsible to take care of him and see to him through the last parts of his life. And that's what he was supposed to do. And so he's telling Jesus, "Hey, I need to fulfill my responsibilities to my family." That's one way to look at it. The other way that a lot of scholars look at this is he's saying, I need to wait until my father dies, and then when I get my inheritance, I will be okay to follow you. Let me wait until my father dies and I bury him, and then when I bury him, I'll have an inheritance and I'll be able to come with you. And I'll be financially okay to follow you, Jesus. Jesus says, it's going to cost you. He says, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. What he's saying to this young man is, it's going to cost you if you're going to follow me. You're not going to be able to worry about your inheritance. You're not going to be able to worry about a lot of things out there that are a part of our culture, a part of our life. He's saying it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you financially to follow Jesus. Well, I knew that was coming because the pastor's talking about finances from the pulpit. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying it's going to cost you to follow Jesus. It's going to cost you financially to do the work of God. Now, it's all His anyway. But the bottom line is, he's saying it's going to cost you financially. It may cost you material things. It may cost you other ways of using finances. But it's going to really cost you in relationships. Because you need to have relationships that are centered around Jesus Christ. And I had a lot of people when I was in high school and even in college that were friends of mine that had no relationship with Jesus Christ. And they didn't want to do the things that Christians would want to do. They wanted to do things that were not Christian. And so when I surrendered my heart to God, I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice. Am I going to keep hanging out and following these guys and doing the things that they're doing? Or am I going to follow Jesus? So when I accepted Christ, it cost me some friends. But you know what? For every penny I got rid of, $100 bills came in the window, if you know what I mean. Because God replaced every one of those friends 100 times over. They were good friends, but now I've got great friends because of Jesus Christ. It cost us in relationships, and it cost us in time. Now, when Jesus said here, follow me, let the dead bury the dead, let life not control you, it's going to cost you time. Now, you can either spend your time going back and waiting on your father. You can go back and spend your time doing the things that are natural, that are just going to happen. Or you can spend your time following me. And Jesus says, follow me. What are you going to do? Because it's going to cost you some time. And I'm not talking an hour on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, an hour and a half on Bible study night. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the time that you give to Him. That's what He wants. It's so easy for me to take and spend time doing things I love to do. But do I give more time to that thing? Or do I give more time to my Savior and Lord? He desires that time. As we look at this passage, we claim to follow Jesus. We claim to be radically obedient. That's what He desires of you and me. But are we radically obedient? Do we see what He says is as a command? Well, you know, I read the Bible and I'm not sure what He's telling me I have to do and what I don't have to do. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and spend time with Him. And see it as a love command. if you love me, you will keep my commandments. To love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to cost you. But the reward is out of this world. Got a little plaque at my house that I was given several years ago. It says, for those in the ministry, and that's all of us, the pension plan, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it says, the pension plan is not much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. That's what we got to look for. We need to understand that when He calls us, here He says, depart to the other side. It's going to cost you. It's going to be uncomfortable. But you know, in another passage, He says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Take up, that's going to be hard work sometimes. What He's referring to is you're literally, when you took up a cross, you realized your life was over. So you're going to take up your cross. You're going to depart to the other side. Your life is over as you knew it. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure that's what I want. I'm not sure I want to give up my life. I enjoy too many things in my life. I'm not saying you can't enjoy things in your life. What I'm saying is that the things in your life must be a priority of Jesus Christ. And that He will give you those blessings back. Last night we were blessed to go down to Sight and Sound Theater to watch Queen Esther. Man, it was funny. They had stuff in there that I'm laughing. And I'm like, wait, I didn't see that humor in my Bible. And what they did wasn't unbiblical. It followed the Bible. But you saw how people reacted, and it was fun. God wants us to have fun, but He wants our number one goal to glorify and honor Him. That's where we have to be. When He follows us, when He says, follow me, it's a command. But understand this, He's not asking you to do anything that He didn't do first. Because the Father looked at me and saw my sin. He looked at you and saw your need for a Savior. And Jesus was radically obedient. He left heaven to come to earth. He set His deity aside in heaven. Now, He was still 100% God and 100% man when He was on the earth. But He gave up heaven to come to earth, to be born as a child. He didn't just come down and show up as a king riding a white horse. He showed up as a snot-nosed little boy. Those of you that have had little boys? Okay. But what we have to understand is He was obedient to the Father because He knew that's what the Father needed. He not only did that, He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was the Son of God. And God commanded Him to live a perfect, sinless life. Had He sinned, then He would have not been a sacrifice for you and I. Wouldn't have worked. And then He gives up His life. He lays down His life. Nobody took it from Him. He laid it down as a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. Because He was radically obedient, we have to understand that He's not asking us to do anything that He hasn't already done. But we look back at our world and we think, how did our world get in this shape? It got in this shape because you and I were not radically obedient. And I'm not talking about painting the town purple. I'm talking about when you stand for something, it's out of this Bible, and you stand for it no matter what anybody says. That's where we're called. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to cost us. But it's a command of the Father. Are you going to do it? Are you going to be casually obedient when it's easy? Are you going to be situationally obedient when it fits? Or are you going to be radically obedient because that's what He demands? Choice is up to you. It's right here. He tells us what following Him has to be like. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Follow Me and let the dead bury the dead. That's a command. Are we going to depart and follow Him? I'm going to leave you with this last thing that I hadn't thought of till this morning. Studied, read, prayed about it all for 2 weeks. And this morning I'm coming up the stairs and I'm thinking this. No matter where He tells you to follow Him, He is always with you. So many times we think, man, I don't know if I can do this. Well, if you're following Him, Him is always there. Right? When I begin not to follow Him, Him may not be there. That's not proper English, but it drives the point home, isn't it? Okay? So that's where we're at. Understand that when you're following Him, He will always be there. And He's placed you there to follow Him. Not because it's going to be easy, not because it's going to be fun. And it can be those things. But He puts you there so that you would glorify and honor Him. And that He would be lifted up and that other people would be drawn to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You help us to see what it is You have for us in the calling that You have set before us. Lord, may we give You honor in this time as we focus on You. Lord, may we glorify You as we lay our lives down before You. Lord, teach us to follow You. In Your name I pray. Amen.